qualified as a personal trainer with the experts, the Australian Institute of Fitness. Hit fitness.edu.au for more.
It's just Fifi and Byron this morning in the absence of Fev, but Dave Hughes is here, guys. It's so good to have Hughesy back. Of course, he'll be driving you home, the Savo, on the Fox, but he is in and he's going to fill in for Fev for an hour and a half or so, Fief.
Oh, it's great to have you, Hughesy. Thank you for doing this.
No, great to be here. But I just want to say to Leon, your ACRA award-winning producer, that he was drunk with power when he put those bets on that that Ryan guy would win at The Bachelorette. And you know why he was drunk with power? Because he thought he knew everything after picking all the winners, or picking all the masked people on The Masked Singer.
Yeah? You're right. Hughesy, this is his big comeuppance.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so just don't be so sure, Leon, you're going to get everything right, you know. I hope you get no one right on the next series.
Well said.
Of The Masked Singer.
I'm prepping for season 2 of The Masked Singer.
There we go.
Well, let's hope that Ryan the dog guy turns up and the mask comes off and there's Ryan the dog guy.
Actually, for anyone who's forgotten that, Hughesy, one of my favourite moments, probably not one of yours, and certainly not from the Channel 10 publicity department with The Masked Singer, was the very first day, the first episode, and we had the wolf on our show. And Leon uploaded that photo and just of him with the wolf and said, just me hanging out with Rob Mills.
It was a guess. It was a guess, and I guessed it right.
Undermined the entire season.
It's the That's point of the show, I guessed it.
Okay, well, they
so
were...
many livelihoods on the line, you know, and you want to just be the big man in town, so, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ruined everything, basically.
Absolutely disgusting.
Right. Yeah.
Now, speaking of the other big man in town, so Hughesy, Fev is not here, as you know.
Yes.
And the reason why, remember last week we were in Tokyo?
Yeah, I do.
And he chose to take on a sumo wrestler.
Is this sumo related?
Yes.
Did he do, was it when he went through the wall, was there an injury? A permanent injury.
Yes, at some stage in that wrestle with Jumbo, the 10-time world champion sumo wrestler, at some stage in it, he's hurt his knee. So he's gone off for a scan and they've gone, mate, surgery, we need to get on to that.
Surgery? Is that a knee reco? Has he done an ACL? Has he done a proper ACL?
There was some sort of very technical term for it. I don't think it was quite
an
serious.
Arthroscopic.
Arthroscopic, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what I'm smelling though, guys? I'm smelling Fev's after the compo. I'm smelling a big payout for the big man.
I know. Oh. I think executives at this company should be nervous right now.
Yes. Did he sign things? Did he sign waivers? Is he
no.
Like, oh no, we're all in for it. We're all going to have to take a pay cut to get for his bionic knee that he has to get, you know?
But as a little treat for us, and you might like to hear this, Hughesy, is he, and he's so committed to the show.
Content
he's
king.
In.
Yeah,
content,
everything's
yes.
up for
absolutely.
Everything's up for his Instagram and this show. Basically,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yep.
In that
he's
order.
He's always thinking. Yeah. Anyway, as he's coming out of the surgery and waking up after the anaesthetic, he has left us all a message. So we thought we'd play. This is him. Very drowsy.
This sounds like could be like after the Brownlee medal sort of thing.
It's got
it?
A bit of that feel to it. Let's have a listen. Fair, very groggy, emerging from the anaesthetic.
Hey guys, just in the recovery room. Just fresh out of surgery. I know you guys are probably missing me right about now, but Byron, I love you, man. You know, we do put a bit of stick on you. But it's just feel for you. And Fee, mate, queen of radio. It's a privilege that we get to work with you every day. I'm not sure I'm allowed to be doing this, but we have the best team, radio team ever. Hope you guys aren't missing me today.
Done?
I don't know.
Are you hung up?
This is my nurse. Hi. I'm hungry. Love to eat.
What? What was that about? It was kind of like he's just going into open heart surgery, you know, with a 2% chance of survival. What was that? That's his knee, wasn't it?
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron. Hughesy filling in for Fev, who, would you believe this, has a sumo wrestling based injury. He went through a wall and he's in hospital having surgery on his knee. That's a true story. You can't make this up.
Well, you can. He could make that up easily. You know? I mean, the injury may have happened later on in the sake bar. We don't know. Right?
Sure, sure. We'll be back on Monday, though.
Now, Hughesy, I brought something up before that caused a bit of controversy in the studio, so let's talk about it now.
Yeah.
I was the story came out yesterday that the sexiest man alive, according to People magazine, is John Legend, who is obviously a brilliant artist in that he's a singer-songwriter, musician. He's an EGOT, actually. He's won all the awards. But I'm not sure if he's the sexiest man alive.
Yeah, can we just say this is an American magazine, so they don't know everyone who's alive, you know. There could be people in the jungles of Borneo who are sexier than John Legend, but they don't know that.
Sure.
They don't know Osher Gunsberg.
They don't know Osher Gunsberg. They don't know Carlin from The Bachelorette. They don't know Tim with the two M's. They don't know the Ryan the Dog guy. You know, so they don't know these people.
Sure.
John Legend, who is it? Fifi, you're putting a line through John Legend, who, I mean, he might be a fan of this show via podcast, you know, so...
Yeah, be very careful.
And I'm happy to do that. I'm not necessarily a fan. He's not someone I'll kick myself over.
Okay.
Him ever finding out I disagree with this. I just, you know what? And I it's a bit old school. I just want the sexiest man alive to be like, you know, really hot. And
You know what? Byron, we can take this from her as well because she's not jealous of John Legend, you know.
It's like absolutely.
When I got second in the hottest hunk competition, I don't know if you remember that, hottest radio hunk competition, and I got second.
Yeah, I believe that was run by popular magazine That's Life, which maybe not quite as high profile, Husey, as this particular one.
Yeah, but I copped a lot of flack for coming second, all right? So I don't know if, Byron, you jumped on that bandwagon of hating on Husey for, you know, coming second in a hottest radio hunk competition.
Well, I think you were beaten by the rugby league commentator Ray Hadley.
I was.
65.
Interesting. 65, and that's lying. He's probably 77. But I'm saying is I know how John Legend feels.
Oh, really?
People to be having a crack at him.
Who is hot then? I mean, who is sexy in your world?
Okay, some of the guys on the list that I think should have been a bit higher than John Legend. Jason Momoa. I mean, Aquaman. Khal Drogo. So, I mean, that man.
You like a big guy.
Oh,
yeah? You like a big, manly man.
That's a sexy man. Yeah. I don't necessarily find.
Who was the second guy? Khal, who was he?
Khal Drogo. You know,
who he plays in Aquaman?
Who he plays in Game of Thrones.
Oh, is there?
I fell for Jason Momoa in Game of Thrones.
In the early days. Yeah.
In the early days. Now
early
he's gone on.
His hotness.
Yes, but he's way hotter than John Legend.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves has come in at 4. I'd even pay that. He's sexy.
But he's been around for a long time. And and I've heard you say, Fifi, he looks like a hobo. I mean, you said that on his radio.
you call him a homeless man, which is, again, it's fine.
I did too. Okay.
Now you're saying he should be the sexiest man in the world. I mean, maybe that's good for the hobos of the world to know that they could be.
I don't look
like a hobo myself. I could be a hobo, couldn't I?
You're looking, your hair, this haircut, you are rocking it, Husey. In fact, what an oversight for them to not even include you like in the top 100.
101.9 The Fox.
Feb is away. He'll be back on Monday. Husey is filling in for Feb. But yesterday after the show, Feef, we did have the chance to speak to a Dawson's Creek superstar.
We did. Now, Husey, Feb, huge Dawson's Creek fan, loves Katie Holmes, grew up with posters of her on his walls, like that sort of love.
Absolutely. I mean, love her more than Tom Cruise loved it.
Probably.
We're interviewing her this afternoon. I need to straighten up here.
You better, because I think as a result of what you just said, you're not.
Now, Husey, we've gone into this interview. I want you to listen to it because I said to Feb, I'm going to give you lots of space, buddy, because you love her and I want you to talk to one of your idols. Yeah. But there is a moment in there where he goes so far off into another zone. Put it this way. When you hear him reference obscure musical Damn Yankees, I think we're in trouble.
I don't know why. He was obviously nervous anyway. Katie Holmes is here as a McHappy Day ambassador, by the way.
And beautiful thing for her to be doing.
Yeah, and that's great. So tomorrow, all the McDonald's around Melbourne, get around it and support it. But yes, here we go, Feef. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off, shall we? And
let's play. And what a big weekend it is in Australia. McHappy Day this Saturday. And how big is this coup? All the way from the United States, the 2019 ambassador for McHappy Day is the one and only Katie Holmes, who has just landed in Australia. And she joins us now with, from McDonald's, Joe Feeney. Hi, Joe. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Katie, we know you to be so charitable. This is such a coup for you to come all the way down under to help with McHappy Day. Tell us about your involvement and how you got involved.
I'm so excited to be a part of the McHappy Day, and I'm so happy to be an ambassador because this helps so many families. The Ronald McDonald House is so supportive of not only the children in need, but their families. And so it means a lot to me to support that.
It's going to blow people's minds going to McDonald's on Saturday morning and having Katie Holmes serve them.
You and I, Katie, got something in common. You won't know this, but I know this because you used to be my favourite person back when I was a young kid on Dawson's Creek. I used to have pictures of you up on my wall. It's quite creepy and quite stalkerish, but that's okay. Sorry for letting you know that. But you, at a school play, played in the – you did the play Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first play that I ever went to, and I've never been to one since, and I loved it.
Really? How come you've never been to a play since?
Oh, I've got a little bit of ADD, Katie, and I don't... I'll tell you the story. I sat down, and a very well-known person here called Jeannie Pratt, the Pratts. I think Anthony is very big in America. Anyway, she it was her play, and I got up at the halfway mark and said thank you very much to them because I thought that was the end of the play, but it was actually the intermission. I didn't know there was another half.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Katie, the bit he's Fev's just glossed over, and you must get this a bit, and sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, but he's such a big fan of yours. He did have posters up on his wall of you when he was growing up.
Is that a bit weird for you, Katie, to hear that, or is that okay?
Oh, it's fine. Thank you.
And we're the same age. It's not creepy. Like, it's making me sound like I'm a real creep.
No. Katie, can I ask, obviously McHappy Day is the big push. Do you know what your actual role will be at the actual McDonald's? Will we be preparing the McFlurries? I mean, do we know exactly what is happening?
Oh, I'm going to be helping fundraising, and people can come and, you know, buy a Big Mac and $2 for every Big Mac, $2 will be donated to the Ronald McDonald House. And then also you can buy McHappy socks. And so I'm there to help fundraise. And
great.
If I go into McDonald's, Katie, and you're in my McDonald's, I'm going to buy every bloody burger that's in there. And I'll happily donate all that money because I'd love you to flip a burger for me. That'd be, oh God, that'd be like heaven.
I don't think she's flipping them.
Might wrap it up now. Thank you so much, Katie, for
thank
the time.
You guys so
and
much.
Joe, we really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you
thank
too.
You.
Happy McHappy Day. Saturday.
Catch up over burgers and Damn Yankees. That'd
absolutely not. Thank you, Katie. Thank you there, Joe Feeney. It is a big push for McHappy Day.
Oh.
Yeah, I think there's... She's at a McDonald's in Sydney, is that right, today? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I reckon there's going to be a photo of Fev up on the wall. Don't let this guy in.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Now, if you missed it, we just played Katy Perry, Katie Holmes interview that we did yesterday before Fev went into hospital. And he loves Katie Holmes, always loved her since Dawson's Creek days. And we were just enjoying the fact that he was maybe a little nervous in the moment when he was interviewing her. Can we just hear a grab of when he identified something they had in common?
You and I, Katie, got something in common. You, at a school play, played in the... You did the play Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first play that I ever went to, and I've never been to one since, and I loved it.
Yeah, we need to establish that he didn't go to the play that she was in. He just went to the... He went to a play years later. She wasn't in that play, was she?
No. It's amazing.
He has seen a play that she was in at some point in time.
Now, had he started early on the pre-operation painkillers yesterday?
I mean, he had it. And he's so sweet. He was so excited. Like, it was like meeting one of his all-time favourite stars.
Yeah, no,
and then he said he would flip burgers for her. It was a look, it was beautiful.
She did not reciprocate his excitement, did she? No. But she was, she's a professional, and we love Katie Holmes, and, you know, McHappy Day's a great thing. There's no doubt about it.
Great.
We're interviewing her on the radio this afternoon, so I'll probably be just as bad as Bev was. My worst moment with a big celebrity was Brad Pitt, and again, it was trying to find common ground, which got me in trouble. So it was for The Project. It was me, Carrie Bickmore, and Charlie Pickering waiting on a boat in Sydney Harbour to interview Brad on a boat, because that's where you want to interview a celebrity, on a boat where the, you know, the background's going up and down. It was not a good idea. But he turned up. He was a little bit late, turned up looking just magnificent. You know, how would you imagine him, Fifi? You haven't met Brad Pitt. Is that right?
No, and he's one I would love to meet. How can he not look magnificent? He'd have to try hard.
His skin is, there's something about his skin is just as, oh, anyway, and he smells great.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't wearing socks. It was all, you know, before, so you know, cool. it was amazing. But I thought, I've got to let him know that I'm a big deal in this country.
Oh.
And so I thought I'll use Eric Banner, you know, who he was in Troy, the movie with him. And, you know, me and Eric Banner have, you know, we did a tour of Yarraville once doing stand-up comedy. So and I thought,
jeez.
So I shook Brad Pitt's hand and I said, Brad, I'm Husey and I know Eric Banana. That's what I said. He looked in my eyes like, who is this Eric Banana character? Is it some sort of, you know, puppet that, you know, and it was really awkward. The interview really didn't get much better than that. So.
Thank you. That should make Fred feel a bit better. A minute to wait.
101.9 The Fox.
Another dating term for you. Here's Fifi to talk it through.
Husey, I'm glad you're here for this one.
Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it. Not man on the dating scene, obviously.
I love betrothed
to your beautiful wife, Holly.
I love watching people date, and I love living vicariously through my single friends. You know,
yeah.
I want to know. I want to know what's what.
Okay, well, this one, as the father to two dogs, you might appreciate this one. It's dog fishing.
Yeah.
Dog fishing. I'll talk it through you. So,
you're not throwing your dog in a river and trying to get your dog to catch fish, are you?
No.
And then women think that's attractive because your Labrador can catch a tuna. Like, no, it's not that.
Incorrect.
No.
This is a dating trend that is gaining popularity where men are posing with dogs in their profile pics or in photos on the gram, but they're not their dogs.
Oh.
So they're using other people's dogs because girls
dogs.
Like. Yes.
Yes.
Not because I guess it shows an emotional sign maybe that you love your dog.
Yeah. Would it work for you? Do you love men that are with dogs?
No. Do you know what? No. I'd be more a baby fisher. You know, like got men that are...
Really? You want to see men with their newborn babies and go, I'll have that guy.
Do you know what? Honestly, one of my exes years ago, his screenshot on his phone when we met, I saw it was him with his baby niece and I went, oh, that's adorable. And it got him across the line.
Okay. Yeah,
well, that's good. I mean, in Adelaide, there was a trend for a little while that men were getting photos with me and then putting me on their Tinder. So, like it was Husey fishing. I don't know if the trend's going in Adelaide, but yeah.
Only Adelaide. Interesting.
Well, look, this may not even be going. 13 10 60, do join in if you are somebody who has either dog fished yourself or you've fallen for a dog fisher.
Okay.
It doesn't sound quite right when you say it, does it?
So these are people, so in essence, Fief, dog fishing, you either have an actual dog yourself or you just borrow a dog for a photo opportunity.
Yeah,
so
you know what you're doing with the dog.
Okay, great. 13 10 60, that didn't sound right.
On that topic, I've got two dogs, Barkley and Bubbles, Bubbles is cross-eyed with an underbite, so there's, you know, Bubbles isn't, I don't know, when women see Bubbles, they probably look at me and think, what have you done to that dog? But
Bubbles is not helping.
Barkley's worse, though, because Barkley looks like he wants to be patted, but he has a tendency to bite people who pat him. So when anyone comes up to me in Barkley and, you know, and women come up to us, I say, no, that dog will bite you. So it's like my dog is making sure that I stay faithful to my wife.
If we've got any dog fishers out there, give us a call. 13 10 60.
Yeah, does it work? I want to know if it works.
Yeah, good point. I mean, there's the odd thing.
Do you get more chicks by putting a dog profile on you?
Definitely. I reckon it works.
Okay, because we've always thought of this in the park, haven't we, Fifi? If you walk the dog around, that's a conversation starter, but this is almost the Tinder version.
Well, I would actually love to hear from someone who is walking someone else's dog trying to pick up in the park.
We'll take that as well. 13 10 60.
101.9 The Fox.
We're talking a new dating term, dog fishing, where men, and maybe women are doing this too, men may be unfairly targeted. Apparently, you pose with a dog for a profile pic on social media, or you upload photos of yourself with a dog to attract the opposite sex, who go, oh, look, he's warm and fuzzy. How gorgeous is he with his dog? I think that's what it does.
Mm. So does the dog have to be attractive, do you think? Is the more attractive the dog, the more likely the guy's going to get a date or not?
Do you know what? They don't go into that detail, Husey, but I'm thinking the less attractive the dog is, I reckon they do better, because you'd go, oh, the fact that he could love that really ugly thing.
Oh,
that
well, you know what?
a really
that reminds
good guy.
Me, I was walking down the street one day, I think it was Ackland Street, and a man who I believe may have been a vagrant looked at my dog, Barkley, and said, I said, well, this is what he said. He said, gee, your dog's ugly. And then he looked up at me and said, he looks like you.
Oh, like, wow. Okay. Ow. Jeez.
And me and that guy did not go on a date after
no,
that.
Fair enough.
I don't think so.
Gee, wow.
The opposite of dog fishing. Lauren from Craigieburn. Hi, Lauren.
Good morning.
Lauren, are you a dog fisher or have you been dog fished?
Okay, so my partner and I have got a 5-month-old Australian Shepherd and we walk out with him often and my partner will have people stop him. Oh, he's so beautiful. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, how old is he? When did you get him? And I am standing next to him.
Oh, these are girls.
And women, yes, wow. But women will stop and, oh, he's beautiful. And it's obviously all about Harvey, our dog. But they will stand there while I'm next to him and chat him up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I feel like you don't want your partner to take that dog for a walk on his own, do you?
No, so now the dog is my dog.
Yes, you've taken the dog. No more dog for him. Thank you very much there, Lauren. Appreciate the call.
Jack on the Mornington Peninsula. Hey, Jack.
G'day, how's it going?
Good, Jack. You a dog fisher?
Yeah, so I've got a border collie, a brown and white border collie. And my profile picture on Tinder was a photo of me and my dog. And yeah, every time, probably I reckon I went on about 3 dates until I had Tinder, so I was single. And yeah, he was the first topic of conversation every time.
Wow, it's working.
Yeah, so is he, yeah, that is, it was just a great investment. Did you know that was going to happen? Or was it a happy accident
No, he started as a family dog and I sort of just took him over once I got a bit older. Sort of began the centre of attention.
Beautiful. Have your mates tried to use him at all or not?
No, I haven't had mates try and use him, but don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, no, it's a good one to get onto because you could rent him out and that could work very well, guys. 22 past 8. 101.9,
The Fox. There, Husey, thank you so much for stepping in this morning. Poor Fev had his operation yesterday. He's recovering. His little knee, his big knee, actually. It'll come back. It will. Now, what have you got planned for the weekend, Hughes?
Tonight's big, it's school fate tonight. It's a Friday night fate.
Friday night
primary
fate.
School. Yes, absolutely. And my wife's been making honey joys. Her goal was to make 100 honey joys, but she fell short, guys. Only got to 75 honey joys.
Oh, dear.
Jeez, that's a sticky kitchen, Husey, isn't it, for poor Holly?
Absolutely. It's a lot of honey joys. But
it's too sticky.
But apparently, if other people don't like them, my son is prepared to eat every single honey joys.
it's frowned upon, isn't it, a Friday night? If I'm not mistaken, Saturday's your traditional fate time slot?
I would have thought, traditionally, I thought school fates were on a Saturday. So it has thrown me that you're having one on a Friday night.
But they've got a bar there, guys. So that's the thing. And my wife made me buy a dozen bottles of wine for the fate. So, yep, I took them to the fate. I took a dozen bottles of wine and a big box of lettuce, which got left over from the Jason Derulo world famous rooftop thing.
What the hell are you doing?
What are you going to do with the lettuce?
Well, I've handed them the lettuce. I said, we don't want the lettuce, just the wine will do. So I've had to bring the lettuce home. So if anyone wants a box of lettuce.
You're an unusual man.
Why did we have so much lettuce at the Jason Derulo concert?
I don't know, but there was just so much lettuce because of my vegan journey. They just gave it to me as I'm walking out the door, and now I really have a lot of lettuce. If anyone wants any lettuce this weekend, I'm the man to see.
Okay, right? Call Husey about that lettuce, and mate, we'll hear you on the drive home, the Sarvo.
Okay, you guys. 101.9,
The Fox. Great to have this guy in the studio, guys. Of course, MasterChef, what a success. 10-year run. He's got the brand new show, Plate of Origin, which is coming soon. And this new book, More Recipes with More Veg for More Joy. Matt Preston's here.
And I've never needed your book more.
Good.
Matt?
Good.
I need vegetables. I need these great recipes. I've had a flick through. I can't wait to get stuck in, Maddie.
I'm excited because I know you need help. I know you need help. But I also know that you understand. This, let's face it, the Fifi Fevan Baron is a hotbed of vegetarian excitement or vegetable excitement, isn't it, really?
It
you
is.
Know, Fev talking about going vegan. All right, vegan with fish. and I've got to say, this is I actually totally respect the vegan with fish attitude because in my book, which is like 120 something vegetable recipes, there's a 30-page section on the back on how to add meat to them or fish to them. because I understand that, you know, the idea is you want to cook a meal for your family that everyone can eat, whether they're vegetarian or whatever. And but then there are certain members of your family, you know, the confirmed carnivore, that needs to have a steak on that. So what I'm suggesting is that vegetables should be the main dish and meat should almost be like the side plate. It should almost be like, I'll have a side of steak or a side of chops or a side of chicken thighs or a side of bacon. And that just, you know, that keeps everybody happy. Because I believe, historically, when we talked about things like vegetarian or veganism, it's been very much, you can't do this, you can't do that, yeah. You can't do this. Hmm. And I mean, you know, do most of that. You know, I like the idea of vegetarian 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and go meat and fish crazy the weekend.
I love that too. And what I love too, though, is because when you think about vegetarian recipes, you often think bland. But see, we trust you, Matt. We know that you won't compromise on flavour. So if you've got a recipe about vegetables, we know it's going to be good.
Well, this is obviously the standard kind of the salad-y type vegan recipes and the lentil curry type stuff. But then also we've developed a whole new range of vegan recipes, which we're calling DFV, Dirty Filthy Vegetarian.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
So things like, well, think of, you know, because I think the problem is we think about vegetarian and we have a certain image of kind of like, you know, nubbly, nut roasty type yes. stuff. But, you know, let's remind ourselves that mac and cheese is a vegetarian dish.
Oh,
so
you
true.
Know, let's remind ourselves that potato gems, potato tots, you know, those lovely crispy,
yes.
which are easy to make at home. You just slightly undercook potatoes, grate them, cheese, some cooked leeks in there, form them up, fry them. Tater tots, homemade tater tots with grated smoked cheddar.
Ew.
And crispy jalapenos on the top.
Oh, yum.
Cheese, crispy potato. Hello.
Okay. Now, if you can hang around.
You've got me one now.
Phoebe's doing the show from her house. She might just duck down and whip one up now in the kitchen.
Some tatey tots.
We want to come back. Matt's going to hang around. Now, the book is called More, and that's More Recipes with More Veg for More Joy, Matt Preston. Now, I know we'll take a quick break. You're a little bit disappointed in Fiona Box.
I have been following your adventures overseas. I watched, obviously, the disaster with Jumbo. But I understand there are other disasters we need to discuss. Okay. Fifi Box.
Yeah, you're going
to
get angry with me, though. And,
not angry, just disappointed.
It's coming up in the next few minutes on The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Matt Preston is here on the back of his new book being out, More, which is More Recipes with More Veg for More Joy.
No, more, not a word that you went through in Japan, is it, Fifi? I am bitterly disappointed. I saw all the amazing, all these amazing experiences you guys had in Tokyo. What did you eat? You're in one of the great culinary capitals of the world. What was the restaurant you frequented most? Is it true?
It is true, Maddie. I did. Okay, let's put the context around this, I had a four-month-old.
Your four-month-old said, I don't want sushi. Sorry, I'm a bit off. Mum, I'm a bit off tempura.
Okay.
I don't like ramen.
This is how the days unfolded. We were racing around. I really got into iced coffee, just those little happy, what do they call them? The little convenience stores. I'd run to get my iced coffees.
Oh, well, the 7-Elevens and the Family Marts. And you get the Boss coffees in the cans. They're really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was loving that. Then, Matt, by the time I get back to the hotel at 5 p.m., 5:30 p.m., Daisy needs to have a sleep. Great. I'm in that world where I feed her to sleep. So we'd lie there on the bed and I couldn't move.
Yep.
So I would ask somebody, a member of our team, to please go to the Taco Bell down the road to get me a burrito.
Right.
Exactly.
Happened every night.
So every night. And look, I understand that, you know, that there's a desire for convenience and they do have amazing pizza in Tokyo. Taco Bell I've never had, surprisingly. But could not someone have just got you a lovely ramen or a lovely selection of sushi from the... Because they're quite common sushi restaurants in Tokyo.
I know. Do you know what? It was... I just really like burritos.
Okay.
And I really liked this particular beef burrito. And I love Taco Bell, and I usually get that in the States, and they had it in Tokyo. And then on the last day, though, I did go out for lunch. I was trying to find a restaurant where I could get the pram in and the baby carrier and all that. Yeah. And unfortunately, the only place that was still open for lunch at 2 p.m. that Friday was Starbucks. So I got a lovely egg and lettuce sandwich.
Oh.
I don't believe it.
I wish it ended there, and that would be an obvious place to end the show, but it doesn't, Matt. Now, there was one occasion where we were trying to have some sort of authentic experience, and we did manage to get Fief and Daisy and, of course, beautiful Trixie to a restaurant. Now, this restaurant had a theme, and it was a fun theme. You catch your own fish inside of the restaurant. So you dine, you're surrounded by a moat, the fish are swimming, you throw your rod out. Now, this, keep in mind, this was the only remotely Japanese meal Fief had. Listen to the... Well, really, I don't want to use a strong word, but let's just say that Trixie had a horrible time in this restaurant. This was an awful experience.
Fishing can be traumatic for six-year-olds, Matt, and I didn't realise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, existential moment when you suddenly put the death and life together.
Oh, here we go.
You know what? You don't get that at Taco Bell. I suppose that's true.
Great to have Matt in. We can't say too much about his new show, which is coming soon. We're really excited, though, and he's got.
Will it have Taco Bell?
No burrito recipes in there. Anyway, it is more recipes with more veg for more joy. Matt Preston, we've got a copy of it in our hands. It looks fantastic. Thanks for coming in,
Matt. And I have a long friendship, and it is amazing that it has sustained this long with me and my lack of culinary etiquette and my lack of knowledge.
No, it's because you never cease to amaze me in everything you do, good, bad, and disappointing.
Thank you very much.
Get qualified as a personal trainer with the experts, the Australian Institute of Fitness. Hit fitness.edu.au for more.